To our church family service. Today we are thinking about how we care for each other and that Jesus always loves us. We hope you enjoy it.
John 1:9-14. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving of each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Lord, help us to follow your example of forgiveness and to show love to all that we meet. You gave us the opportunity to become children of God by your death and resurrection. Create in us a heart as humble as yours so that we can forgive others and ourselves this Christmas.
Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. We remember people who might find Christmas a struggle this year. Help us to be generous to others, but to accept nothing in return. Show kindness to others in words and in deeds.
The 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We pray your blessings on all of us this Christmas time. Let us show the love of God, of Jesus, to all we meet. Amen.
Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. At this exciting time, help us be kind and loving towards others, that help us as much as you and are kind and loving towards us. Help us put others before ourselves and to remember how Jesus was when he was on earth.
John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. At this festive season, when things are very busy, it can sometimes be very hard to always love others. Give us the patience and understanding to show love and kindness to those who come into contact with. I am now going to read the Nativity story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged in the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in the cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, the Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the highest in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I'd just like to start by saying a massive thank you to all of the Junior Church, and especially to my mum and Jan, who have helped put all this together and coordinate this whole thing, and people doing solos and songs and games and quizzes and everything. I think it's been brilliant. So again, thank you. You do this a couple of times a year, and every single time is better than the last. So thank you so much. It's, But moving on, Merry Christmas, guys. It's like 8 days away. Hope everyone is well and looking forward to it. Just over 1 week to go. And throughout the world, we can see twinkling lights winking at us from the houses and shops. I mean, hopefully they're getting us happy about Christmas Day and taking a bit of the winter darkness. Christmas is coming, which is pretty exciting. When my brother and I were little, just knowing that it was Christmas was enough to make us almost explode with excitement. Going to bed on Christmas Eve was always tough. I don't think I slept much at all, to be fair. I used to have to lie in bed and I think just make up stories in my own head so I would fall asleep, because I just had to bore myself into getting to sleep, because just thinking, oh, if I go to bed, I can wake up on Christmas, this doesn't work, because I'm just like, presents! It's like 6 hours until I can open my presents, and it, like, Christmas is always very exciting. I think it might be different this year, because I am now a teenager, and I am contractually obliged to stay in my room for a large portion of my life. I doubt that my mum and my dad are going to be woken up at 6 a.m. next week, which yes. I think they're happy about.
Dad, don't worry, you're still going to be working up by me.
Yeah, you still got him. Your fault. because, which is a good job actually, I think, because an adult's Christmas preparations are always tough. You have to get the food, the presents, cards sent. Got to make sure that everyone's at the right place at the right time, cook, like, make sure that the turkey doesn't get burnt, but also make sure that the roast potatoes get cooked, everything. Like, so much to do, and Christmas can seem very overwhelming. So whether you're full of the excitement of a child or filled with the feeling of stress of my parents, this morning, can we just stop and pause to reflect on what Christmas is and why it's so good? At first glance, it's not that easy to see. The real wonder of Christmas is hidden. When the candle was lit earlier on, we heard that Jesus was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. It is a pretty amazing claim that the world was made by Jesus, especially at Christmas, because looking at baby Jesus, he didn't seem to be any different from any of the other babies we see in cute photos. just like the babies that we saw when Beth was doing her game. He didn't have wings and flaming eyes. He wasn't fluent in Greek, Arabic, or Hebrew. The moment that he popped out, he made gurgling, burping, and other noises that babies make. To all intents and purposes, a passerby looking into the stable would have just thought that he was a baby. Of course, there were clues that this baby was different. He was born of a virgin, and angels turned up all over the place. You don't really see that walking around Swallow Nest. There was an unusual star, but just look at the baby itself, and he didn't look any different to any other newborn. It's only as we look at Jesus, the man that we see, he was something different. That we see that he was special. That we realise that some of the things that Jesus did as an adult were just miracles. He turned water into wine to make sure that the party could happen. He stopped a storm with a word. He healed the sick. He raised the dead back to life. He did remarkable, astonishing things to back up the claim that he was the creator of the world. But look at the baby in the manger. We can't see that, obviously, because it's a doll here. But we can't see that. Just like, again, when we look at the photos in Beth's quiz, we can't see the teacher, singer, or grandfather that those children would become. Looking at the baby Jesus is just like looking at an unopened present. And the second surprise about Christmas is what happens when Jesus does become an adult. Remember what the Advent reading said earlier? Jesus was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. One of the lovely anecdotes that got shared last year when Queen Elizabeth sadly passed away was that she and her protection officer came across two American tourists walking around the hills of the Balmoral Estate. She said hello to the Americans, and it immediately became clear that they hadn't recognised her. They asked the Queen, where she lived. She said, "Oh, well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just on the other side of the hills." The hiker then asked her whether she had ever met the Queen. "No, I haven't met her," replied Queen Elizabeth, "but Richard here meets her quite regularly." The Americans then excitedly got a selfie with the Royal Protection Officer, as well as with the Queen, none the wiser. Apparently, when they had gone their separate ways, Her Majesty commented, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows those photographs to their friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am." Those Americans, for some reason or another, did not recognise the most famous person in Britain. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. On one level, that is entirely understandable, because we don't expect the creator of the universe to be a baby. It's hard to believe that any human could be God. That's why Jesus performed miracles to reveal who he was. If someone walked up to me after the service and said, "I'm God," I would tell them to prove it. And if they couldn't, then I would put their claim to be divine in the same category as mine would be. But Jesus didn't just claim to be God. He backed up his claim by doing things that only God can do. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's like 2 of my school. He gave a blind man his sight. There's plenty of evidence that Jesus is the creator of the world. So having done all those things and having proved his identity, is a surprise that those around him who rejected him still were there. And that brings us to the heart of why Jesus came at Christmas. Because what happened back then to Jesus has happened throughout history and still happens today. People don't want to admit that and acknowledge who Jesus is. To be honest, we all want to live our lives our own way. I know, I hate it. And my mum and my dad get me to do stuff like clean my room or come out of my room or talk to people. You know, there's a long list of stuff. But I do have to admit it. Sometimes when I do ignore them, it makes a bit of a mess. Because they're right, all the time. And we make a bit of a mess when we try to live our lives without God in control. Look around this world. Wars in Ukraine and Palestine, terrorism in Israel, France and Belgium. That's only stuff near here. The list goes on. So many lives destroyed, so many people displaced, and hundreds drowning in the seas of Europe because greedy men exploit vulnerable, desperate people in their time of greatest need. It is a messed up world. But we can't just blame the human race. We all make individual bad choices and often the same mistakes over and over again. My dad, every year, eats too much at Christmas. That's going to be a fight later. I regret saying that one. He eats too many mince pies, and here I go again. I'm still talking. He eats too many mince pies in the lead up to Christmas, and he eats too much chocolate throughout Advent.
Keep going.
And this habit reaches its climax on Christmas lunch. Christmas lunch. Where you will have absolutely everything going on his plate.
That is true.
Every single option will be crammed on, and he will eat it all and probably have seconds, and then Christmas pudding. And he'll complain about feeling too full. Oh, please forgive me. And I go on, I'm still going to go. I'm so sorry. So he collapses onto the sofa to watch the King's speech, and then, just a few hours later, he will announce that it's turkey sandwich time. Turkey sandwich time.
It's got to be done.
It has got to be done. He never learns the lesson. Never. But I guess overeating on Christmas Day doesn't really matter. The problem is that many mistakes that we made over and over and over again do matter because they hurt people. I know I'm not alone in being grumpy sometimes with people at home or being unkind about people in an unthinking way or ungenerous with my time or my money. We keep making these same mistakes, and the biggest mistake is not recognising God for who he really is, not living in the way that God wants us to live. That's why we end up hurting others. According to a survey, about 20% of people don't like Christmas. They were audible gasps by two people, Thomas and Emily. I mean, they obviously love Christmas. They're not part of the 20%. I guess it could highlight when family relationships and friendships have broken down for whatever reason. Others will be dreading Christmas this year because a loved one won't be there. For some of us, death has robbed us of someone very special, and we will feel it badly on Christmas Day. We live in a broken world, and at the heart of the problem is the failure to recognise that God is God. It happened in Bethlehem and Nazareth, and it happens today. I'm going to say it again. God was the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Yet listen to how the reading continues, because this is amazing. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is why Jesus came at Christmas, not to just prove that God exists, and not to criticise us for rejecting and ignoring him. No, Jesus came at Christmas to bring us back a loving relationship with God. Jesus isn't Father Christmas. Father Christmas messages try harder, be a good person, because Santa comes to people on the nice list but not on the naughty list. Bad luck, Thomas. If you're good, you will get good rewards from Father Christmas. a bit like this world. If you are clever enough, or pretty enough, or rich enough, you will do well. The Christmas message is different, and that's why it's special. Christmas says that you and I can't be good enough. We keep making the same mistakes over and over, and we have made the biggest mistake of all, by not recognising Jesus for who he is. We've cut God out of our lives, and therefore wrecked our relationship with him, and our relationships with other people. But Jesus also says that God loves us anyway. Christmas also says that Jesus came to die for us so that we can be forgiven. Christmas says that we can have our relationship with God restored and even become his family. All we need to do for this to be true and to take a gift. To all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. This is why Christmas is brilliant. It's a free gift, no matter how good we are. God loved us so much that he gave his son. That baby in the stable, he gave it to us. It's so much more than just a cute baby. He is God himself. Happy Christmas. Have a good couple of weeks. Enjoy the festivities. Eat as much Christmas food as you can. Have fun. But remember what I've said today. Happy Christmas. Thank you for listening.
And we will now share the grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.